Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So winding up this month of May, Hoosier student athletes with their degrees, a slew of honors, 6th annual Spirit of Indiana Showcase in the books, big time night a couple of months ago. And well, I tell you what, we got a lot going on, and now we see these student athletes, alums, and the showcase for Cream Crimson student athletes outstanding. As we wind up the school year, some unfinished spring sport business to attend to. Baseball and rowing, we'll recap. Look ahead tonight, our monthly behind-the-scenes visit with Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you in part by the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana U, the Spirit of Indiana, 24 Sports, one team. A little bit later, the new golf pro general manager out at the IU course, Greg Bishop, drops in for conversation. Life member of the PGA of America, who has spent the last 34 years plus in golf course management or ownership. We'll get some thoughts on Greg, the IU golf course, inviting you to take your best shot this summer. The Fred Glass Honor Roll is loaded, the department and employee spotlight beaming brightly here on a Tuesday. So welcome to another Tuesday night of IU Sports Conversation. This is Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Along with our producers, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. On-site producers, Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, including IU Sports. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and Fred, always great to see you. I hadn't realized it's been well over a month. I think the last we talked was April the 12th, the tail end of spring. Always bittersweet, saying goodbye to our seniors who are now alums, as I mentioned, but basking too on what was this year, 2015-16, a lot of enjoyable moments for you.
Absolutely. It's been a really great year for us across the board. The athletic accomplishments of our students who participate in intercollegiate athletics, really strong in the classroom, setting records for our graduation success rate, GPA is really strong APR measurement. So really almost in every way that we try to measure our success, it's been really good. Some of those high profile pieces, we're the second time in the history of the department, the first time in 25 years we were in a bowl game and qualified for NCAAs in both men's and women's basketball, and we're only one of 10 programs in the entire country that had that trifecta. Look around some other lesser well-known sports, field hockey, won more Big Ten games. They'd won in the entire 5 years before that. Baseball's finishing strong here. We're going to mention some of our individual champions in track and field. Swimming's highest finish ever. The list kind of goes on and on, but across the board, Joe, it's been a real successful year. And the bittersweet part is right, because some of my favorite kids are walking out the door, and I'm going to miss them, but who knows who's coming in the door as freshmen. It's a cool part of this job. It's kind of an evergreen.
You know, since we haven't talked since April, let's go back to April the 25th over at the auditorium, just a gala night, and something you started 6 years ago, and mentioning a couple of, student athlete seniors that we say goodbye to, won the Spirit of Indiana Directors Award, and I'll let you announce those. I mean, most people remember when everything came out, but two outstanding kids, but the whole night was another 10 strike for you, Fred.
Well, I love the Spirit of Indiana Showcase. Is one of my favorite nights, where we really live 24 sports, one team. All the kids turn out, they dress up, they interact over there at the auditorium. We invest a lot of resources in making that a special evening. The coolest part, I think, is the performances the kids do. We have people sing, tell jokes, play musical instruments, do little skits, and then also honor the academic and athletic successes of all of our students who participate in intercollegiate athletics. So it's a special night, and then maybe selfishly, although I think it's really caught on in the department, we announced the Director's Award for the Spirit of Indiana, which is the male and female student athlete who we determine most embodies the characteristics of the spirit of Indiana. I think the kids really get into that, and we, you know, it's a really hard selection, you know, because so many kids, fortunately, do embody that spirit. But we had two great kids, Becca Brower, with our rowing program, active in SAC, active in a lot of our community service aspects, and then. And then we knew she was a great athlete, but then recently she became the Big Ten Rower of the Year.
Great award.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty neat that a kid that's so good at her craft is also just such an all-around outstanding person that she, you know, earns that Spirit of Indiana award. And, of course, Femi from soccer, beyond his amazing personal story of literally being saved as an abandoned baby from a park in Africa to grow up and become an amazing young man and a great athlete, scored one of the most important goals in Indiana men's soccer history, and just an all-around contributor to the department, a great 1-2 punch, and came back from his role in Major League Soccer, which I think shows how important that is to him to come back to receive that award in person.
Well, and Femi Hollinger-Jansen just scored a goal, his first. He's playing for the New England Revolution, and that was great to see him find the nets, which he did with regularity for Todd Yeagley.
Sure.
And that one, I'm glad you mentioned that upbringing and how it all started his life, because that truly was amazing. And we had two other student-athletes. I mean, it's just a wagon load, and you've talked about the graduation rates in our programs that have met high, statistics academically, but also Nicole Volgroff and Nick Zeitzloff took care of the Hoosier representatives for the Big Ten Medal of Honor, and that award is very, very prestigious because it's given out by the league.
Yeah, it is. That's a big, big deal, and those two young people, I'm going to miss both of them very, very much. People probably know a little bit more about Nick and how he joined the program, and not only was dead eye from three-point range, but I think brought a maturity and a leadership and a perspective that really was valuable to this team. And I don't know a finer young man than Nick Zeitzloff. And then Nicole Volgraf, who people don't know as well, was the president of the Student Athletic Advisory Committee. Of course, one of our field hockey players, great senior leader, young woman from Philadelphia, interested in design and retail, and one of the best young leaders that I've ever been around. So great representation, and I think they hold their own as among the best of any of the Big Ten medal winners throughout the conference.
We, and Fred was mentioning Rebecca Brower, the young lady hailing from just over to the east of us, Columbus North High School in Bartholomew County, and here's a young lady that has size because she was an outstanding basketball player, but she sits in that varsity 8 boat, and she did win the Big Ten Rower of the Year. But, you know, you talk about athleticism in addition to everything she did elsewhere, not only in the classroom but extracurriculars, and now here they are, Steve Peterson's crew. They're out in Sacramento, California, third year in a row they're in the NCAA, so a little unfinished business before she calls it quits.
Yeah, how about that, Joe?
A great story.
It's a great story with Becca, and a great story with Steve Peterson, that he finds these kids who maybe don't have rowing experience but they're great athletes because maybe they played basketball,
yeah,
or volleyball, and they're looking for something new going forward. And then, you know, the rowing team, you know, we were a little bit of the cellar dwellers in the Big Ten Conference. And through, I think, some of the investments we made in 24 Sports One Team, and then some more investments that we made specifically in the rowing program, and Steve evolving with his philosophy, 3 in a row, baby, in the NCAAs. And last 2 years, I think we had top 11 finishes in each year, which in the country here in you know, the middle of the country in a sport like rowing is pretty damn good. So really proud of that team. And as you know, the team's full of a lot of novices, kids that get pulled off the campus to say, hey, would you be interested in this? And in some ways, it's the quintessential student athlete that really represent the student body. And I was it was nice enough to be invited to an evening of the rowing team. They won our Spirit of Indiana Excellence Award for overall community service and engagement with the athletic teams. And what a great group of kids. I really had fun with them. We had a big Q&A, and and they represent Indiana University in a great way.
And competition in the NCAAs will begin on Friday, running through the Memorial Day weekend. And as Becca was mentioning, when she learned that it was basically an individual award being the Big Ten Roar of the Year, it hadn't hit her yet because she always thought, and it still is, how much team, T-E-A-M, means to her and how much rowing is a team sport with eight women and sometimes fewer in those boats in competition.
Right. That's a classic response from her, right, because she is so team-oriented, not only in that varsity eight boat, but just among SAC reps and the overall approach she takes to school, rowing, athletics generally. She's an outstanding young woman, and thankfully fairly typical of the great kids that we have in our program.
Well, we're just getting started. We'll have and talk a little about a group of young men that face a Big Ten baseball tournament bright and early tomorrow out in Omaha as Kyle Hart makes first team All-Big Ten. Indiana and Maryland tomorrow. Also mark down the date. It's official now. We'll have times later. But the Big Ten ACC Challenge, yep, it's going to be a rematch with the Tar Heels of North Carolina. It's going to be on a Wednesday night, November the 30th. A couple of things we'll touch on. Plus, we have the field turf installation going on. Always progress going on with the Simon Scott Assembly Hall construction. And we're just getting started with Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. We have our department in the spotlight and employee as well. We'll continue along. You're listening to BTS on ST. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Of course, a big night. Reds baseball coming up a little bit later. Hey, they played well last night. Just ran into the best pitcher in baseball in Clayton Kershaw. Lost 1-0. It's a late night, the first three nights of this week. Pre-game at 10 o'clock tonight from Chavez Ravine. Got a lot going on with the girls' high school track regional. Of course, the girls' regional tennis match going on with Bloomington North and on through the week. A busy, busy week, not only on the high school beat, but as we mentioned, as we get back and talk shop with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass tonight on Behind the Scenes. Let's talk baseball. Certainly, a power outage neither one of us expected, nor did any Indiana fans or even the players, but it happened. The best thing it is, everybody's all even starting tomorrow, but we're talking about the Big Ten tournament, the Hoosiers and Maryland right off the get-go.
Yeah, Joe, a lot of people speculated this was going to be a rebuilding year for our baseball Hoosiers, and we go into the last weekend with a chance to win the Big Ten regular season outright. And, I'll take that. Sometimes the ball goes here, sometimes the ball goes there, but if you put yourself in a position to be the champions going into the last week, that's pretty good in my book. And I like the way Chris brought this team along and had some challenges early in the year, but went on some great runs, and we're playing our best baseball, I think, when it counted, other than, the last weekend where we, but it's no harm losing, no embarrassment losing to Nebraska on the road over there. So in any event, really proud of the team. New season starts. We're third seed and playing in Omaha. I just talked to Commissioner Delaney today. He's over there watching some baseball, and let's see if we can get on a hot streak here and maybe win the damn thing.
On the big screen here at Yogi's tomorrow morning, so you can have brunch or breakfast with the Hoosier baseballers, who, by the way, got five on the all-conference team. Kyle Hart, who will start tomorrow, the outstanding senior left-hander out of Cincinnati, Ohio. First team, third team, Brian Wilhite, another outstanding senior, along with Craig Dedalo. And all freshmen, and Fred Brent brought up a good case, a good point, talking about maybe being a year or two away because he does have a group of outstanding young players, and three of his freshmen made the all-freshman team. Backstop Ryan Feynman, Luke Miller, who plays the hot corner, and designated hitter Scotty Bradley. Austin Cangelosi won the Sportsmanship Award, so a lot of good Hoosier flavor there with the awards given out earlier today, and that just came out about an hour ago.
Yeah, Joe, you're hot off the presses, baby. You're right on it. You're right on it. Would expect nothing less, but yeah, Chris has done a great job reloading, and we're really excited about his leadership and the kind of kids that he's attracting to the program.
Well, you know, it's ongoing. You might not be able to see it from the road like you can when you travel down the local street, 17th Street, watching the Simon Scott Assembly Hall renovation take shape. And it seemingly you could have one vision of it on one day and go by 3 days later and there's another vision of it. So things are going along, finally getting this, good weather in here, but despite that, good progress being made.
It is. It's kind of like, you know, when you remodel your bathroom or something, you know, the early stuff's kind of boring and you're dealing with infrastructure, and now a lot of the finish work's starting to happen, and it's kind of fun. When I go over there, there's new things all the way around. Excuse me, Joe. And I think our fans are really going to enjoy that. I mean, I can't believe that it's just a few months, almost a few weeks away when we get that thing open and dedicated here in October. But we're starting to see the concession stands taking shape and the bathrooms being renovated and we just got our bid back on the Jumbotron, which is going to be spectacular and just a real fan friendly, fan focused amenities, new seats in the bowl, if you will, and the new south entryway will be awesome. Literally, people will be awestruck, I think, by the size and the homage that it pays to Indiana University basketball, which to me is really almost synonymous with Indiana basketball generally. We're going to have some interactive displays that also tie in with schoolboy and schoolgirl basketball, with Mr. and Miss basketballs, and everybody who's been an all-star. And so you can go and say, well, I wonder who from my hometown was an all-star, and I wonder of those who played for IU, and how many Mr. Basketballs does Indiana have compared to Purdue, and that sort of thing. So anyway, it'll be the gift that keeps on giving for Indiana University basketball fans.
And mentioning basketball, the date has been set, Fred, for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, including 14 teams that played in the NCAA, including, of course, the Hoosiers. The Big Ten won the Commissioner's Cup in 2015-14. And here comes North Carolina on a Wednesday night. The time hasn't been set yet, but now we do know the date, and that'd be the November 30th date. It'll be actually the third night of competition within the confines of the ACC Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that we're playing the Tar Heels. I actually predicted that to Dolson, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that the conferences would think that's a pretty good matchup. You know, Duke last year on the road, now North Carolina at home, two schools of basketball royalty playing each other. Very optimistic about our squad for next year, and we'll get an early season test, which will be must-see basketball, and Assembly Hall will be rocking.
You know, just touching on it, not to catch you off guard, but tomorrow is the 25th, and that is the deadline for coming back or going and staying in, and we're talking about Troy Williams. Have you heard anything relevant to that or shed any light in that regard?
Yeah, I really haven't, Joe. You know, those kids, they'll be well-advised. Tom, I think, is very balanced in the counsel he gives the kids. He makes sure they get access to independent thinkers that are knowledgeable about basketball. We want what's best for all the kids, and, they'll make good judgments. And if it's better for them to go, then that's good for us. If it's better for them to stay, then that's good for us. And I wish all the kids well in their decision-making, and I'm confident they'll make the right choices for them.
Well, you know, while you can see visually the amenities going on at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, you can't really see what's going on in the stadium. You know there is something going on in the stadium, and, it was just time to tear up and layer down, and we're going to have a new, brand-new field turf for 2016.
Yeah, I think our fans are going to really like it. It's something we absolutely had to do. We probably eked out maybe an extra year out of the old turf because, you know, I'm kind of stingy and like to get the full life out of my capital investments. But it was time, and the new technology will make it even better and safer than the previous field turf was. And we took the opportunity to improve the aesthetics of it as well without changing the real traditional look. So our eagle-eyed fans will notice that we've gone to different tones in 5-yard increments that I think give it more of a new moan sense. And we've expanded the state of Indiana with the interlocking IU. It's at midfield as large as we're allowed to, which still has to be inside the hash mark. So it'll be the traditional look and emphasize that Indiana University is the state university, but be a little more bold than I think it's been before. And then in the end zones, we've really replicated the Indiana script style that's in the baselines of Assembly Hall. And that'll be a much bolder feel, and we think that's important. We're a bold program. We want to grab people's attention. We want to exclaim that we're Indiana, and so our fans will notice that the Indiana in the end zones is bolder than it was before. So I think it'll be a great thing for our fans, and probably more importantly for our students who participate in football.
Seven home games coming up this season of 2016. Fred had mentioned the bowl game, which was huge for the program, Yankee Stadium last December, and Indiana's first game will be down in Miami on September 1, which will be a night game and a Thursday night before they come in. So a very attractive home schedule. And go to iuhoosiers.com, log on to the football, and get your tickets right away. Before we talk about more student athletes, well, we'll do it right now because I want to congratulate Sydney Klute and Lars Schroeder, who took care of winning the Big Ten titles in their specialties, and they've been mainstays for Ron Helmer. Sydney in the pole vault and Lars in the hammer throw.
Yeah, two great kids from a great program. I'll a little footnote: Sydney, in addition to having won multiple championships, is the incoming president of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, succeeding Nicole Volgraf, who we just talked about before. So in addition to being excellent in the pit, I guess, is that the high jump reference?
There you go.
She's just great and highly regarded among her peers who elected her president of that important group.
She leaves the pit and elevates. She goes up and away.
There you go.
And by the way, those distances, I get a little lost. I'm pretty much old time, but I think it was in the vicinity of 14.9. They use meters now, but Smitty gets confused when reflecting over to the feet and inches. But it was a new school record. It was a site record and a Big Ten record. So.
You know, when I was at Rebuff, they told me that
by the time
I was this age, it'd be all about meters, and I'm sure they taught you that because you're so much older than I am. But I'm really glad that the meter thing hasn't totally caught on, because I'm still kind of a foot and inch person.
Yeah. No, we didn't talk about meters at 2801 West 86th Street back in the early 60s. Well, I know before we close things down, and keep in mind we do have Greg Bishop joining us, who is general manager of the new golf pro. And just a preface that, you had talked about him because you had him in the spotlight here a couple of months ago.
Sure did.
You hired him in December. He came in December. Talk about running in with his feet solidly placed with a vision. And as we mentioned right at the top of the show, there's all good things happening out at the IU golf course.
There sure is, Joe, and I first want to thank Spider Miller, because Spider really helped us find Greg, and he's been a great gift to us because he brings that rare combination of great business acumen with just a real personable side and connects with people. And boy, that's the profile of a great golf pro, right? Because they're running a business, but it's really about relationships and making people feel special and wanted and that they belong at the golf course, and that's what he's done. I don't think the golf course has ever looked any better. Many people have remarked to me how much better the course is, and that's a great part due to Greg's leadership, and also he's been instrumental in helping us conduct pro formas and so forth in anticipation of hopefully a major renovation of the golf course going forward. It's not a secret that we are looking for a major donor to lead a.
Welcome back, everyone. We continue along Sports Talk on a Tuesday night, and we thank Fred Glass, as always, behind the scenes. And we welcome on a big hire that Fred made in the month of December, and that is a gentleman who's been involved. He's been a life member of the PGA of America and has spent almost 35 years in either golf course management or ownership. And I believe I got this right, a native of Jennings County, North Vernon, Indiana, Greg Bishop.
I'm really, really happy that the city took the golf course over and they're managing it now. And I think everyone down there is very happy with the city taking over.
Well, you know, after you and you kind of started your career, you talked a little about tinkering with baseball, but then golf you fell into the love with, and it all really started. You were the pro over at that tough Otter Creek course in Bartholomew County. Talk a little about that experience.
Yes, started at Otter Creek in the early 80s. What a great experience that was there. Obviously one of the better public golf courses in the country, especially when I started back in the early 80s. Cummins Engine Company built the golf course and donated to the city of Columbus. What a wonderful experience. It was a fantastic golf course. We hosted numerous tournaments.
Okay, so Sarah, I'm dropping you off at Emily's?
Yep.
And Josh, you're going to?
Soccer, Dad. Soccer practice.
Right. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know when I pick you both up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, and my dorky dad hat, and I'm gonna do my dad dance for all your friends. They'll love it!
Seriously? Why?
Because I like my short shorts. Of course, I could be talked out of it if you guys would just buckle up your seatbelts without giving me a hard time.
It's important to get your kids to buckle up for safety, no matter what it takes. And sometimes, all it takes is your parental powers of persuasion.
Okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Good choice. I'll just have to do my dad dance at dinner time.
What?
No!
Do what you have to make sure your kids are wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Motor Service is your local Carquest auto parts store located at the corner of 5th and Rogers in Bloomington. Motor Service is your professional auto parts store specializing in paint and body supplies with complete machine shop services. Springtime is finally here, and it's a great time to fix up your car. So why not visit Carquest before it's too late? Carquest will give you the good service you expect for a price you can afford. Remember, Motor Service wants to help you.
On here, take your best shot. A lot has been going on. We talked, Clint and I, about the new PGA Junior Golf League for kids, which is a great concept, but you do have a lot going on. Let's talk about a little something about the programs here as we start to wind down, get into a holiday weekend, and then the school's out today, and now we got the summer ahead of us.
We do. Clint's helped us tremendously, helping build some programs out there and doing some things, obviously. Junior golf is very important to me and to us there at the University Golf Course. We are hosting some tournaments here coming up. We have the boys high school sectional, I believe, here.
Yep.
Next
June 3rd.
Week, June
yeah.
3rd, and then the next day we have the State Am qualifier there. So we have a few things going on there, and then obviously we have some local events and outings going on. But a lot of programs going on out there. We're trying to build. We have the ladies' league. I hadn't been home for a summer.
A little
for a
free
long
time,
time,
huh?
I got to spend a lot of time with my granddaughters.
There you go.
Great. But I missed the golf industry. You know, I've been involved in it so long, and this opportunity came up, and I've been around the area for a long time, and I've known a lot of the history about the golf course around here, and I know that they've really not been up to the grade that they want it to be, and we've got some good things going on, in the future. I think, we're real excited about the future plans that we can have there, but, just coming over and looking at it and trying to to do a few new programs to try to get the product a little bit better, and obviously service is a big factor for what we want to do, and what I envision is just making sure when people come out, it's what I've always told everyone that works for me, it's not brain surgery. All you have to do is make people happy when they come out.
And well, you've done that, and talk to me a little about the service, if you will, because, you know, let's be honest, it was not in decay, but things had fallen along the wayside. When you came on, what was your game plan? You take a look at the whole total picture of the Champ course. What were some of the first things you wanted to get implemented under the Bishop plan, if you will?
Well, I have some good people that have been around there for a long time.
Sure.
So basically just trying to get them to buy into my philosophy and understanding that the customer is the most important thing that we have, and the service aspect. And once they got into that, and then getting with the maintenance people and getting them to buy into the fact that the product needs to get a little bit better, and having them proud and getting the product better, that's helped tremendously. The bunkering needed some work. You know, there's been a few things have been neglected over a few years that they just haven't gotten to. Obviously, when you're in an industry like ours, and you're in, you know, it's a tough industry and not making a lot of money, and it's hard to to go in there and say, hey, you know, I need money to get this better and this better and that better. So it's hard.
It's got to be a little frustrating.
It does get a little frustrating. We got a little break early because we had some good early warm weather, you know, first part of the year. Even in February, we had a few days. A weekend, I remember, very busy out there, so we were able to get out on the golf course and get some early work done and start implementing a few things. I'm very adamant about the greens. The golf course greens need to be the best of anything on the golf course. I always tell people, if you get your greens good and keep them good, keep the speed up to what people enjoy, a lot of the bad things kind of disappear a little bit. They're still there, but they don't seem to see them quite as well when the greens are good. So we were able to get those in pretty good shape. The boys team had a event there in first of April,
right?
And we had the greens in pretty good shape going into that, and then we had a windstorm that nobody's ever seen before, I think, around here. We tried to play on that Saturday.
Yeah, when you didn't have rain, then the temperature dropped and it was blowing about 50. And that weekend you're talking about, that was 50 mile an hour winds.
It was, and we had to call playoff in the middle of the afternoon, and that was kind of disappointing. They didn't get to play all the holes, but that was one of the things that keeps me motivated. The student athletes, the boys and the girls team, both men's and the ladies teams. The kids seemed to come out, and they were coming up and telling me and telling the people who are working how much I enjoy the golf course being improved. So that's real motivating.
Going to start within the confines of, well, is the par 3 going to be there all summer, and what about the driving range?
Right now, the timing on all this, and we really don't have the exact timing that things are going to happen. Right now, I don't see anything happening at all this year.
Okay.
Everything should stay steady for this season. Next year, we'll have to evaluate it probably over the winter and see where we're at. But you know, building golf courses and redesigning and trying to grow grass is all about timing. So you know, if you don't start at a certain time, it doesn't really help you any. So
right.
You know, you want to start seeding things usually in August around this area here. So if you can't get things done and ready to seed by August, you might as well wait till the next season.
Well, and in the big scheme of things down the road, let's talk. Fred mentioned it, of course, a new golf course and everything, and especially, as you well know, Indiana University doing everything first class. Talk about what is being envisioned right now with you, a big-time hitter within the framework of bringing this to a reality, Greg.
Yeah, we're really excited. I'm very excited about it, and so is everyone that's involved in all this. What a great opportunity to do something very, very special. You know, the golf course obviously has needed an upgrade, but we're really wanting to bring it up to national standards, to where we're a destination golf course. We envision hopefully hosting some very, very good tournaments, NCAAs, maybe some national tournaments, not only just putting a feather in Indiana University's cap, but for the community also, you know, bringing people here for certain events and enhancing the local business to Indiana University standards.
You bring in a designer. I mean, you know a little something about designing a course with ownership and putting everything together. What are the A, B's, and C's here as you, again, line up a game plan here looking at a brand-new facility?
Well, what you do is you get yourself an idea of what type of facility you want, first of all, and that will bring in the type of designer that you want. Obviously, we're going to want a very well-known designer, someone that brings a lot of experiences in that they've had, and all over the country. We do have some people in mind. It's a process where you come in, you look at the property, obviously you get out and walk it a few times,
right?
Then you have to go out and do some sampling on soils. Obviously around here, there's a lot of rock and things of that nature.
Limestone.
You have to get in there and try to see what, for the cost factors, what kind of cost you're going to have to move some dirt. If you have to, get in there and get some rock out, obviously it costs a little bit more money than just moving soil around.
It's gone tough course.
The piece of property is gorgeous. The footprint is a 10 plus.
Okay.
You couldn't put it in a better spot. We have the access in and out off of the bypass there. It's right on road frontage. A beautiful piece of property, very hilly. We have just so many things that are a positive that I'm really excited.
Well, you ought to be, and you're grinning, and you have been grinning since we started talking about 25 minutes ago. But the course is open to the public 7 days a week. You can book your tee time online at theiugolfcourse.com or call the pro shop 812-855-7543. They have twilight rates. They've got a lot of things going on this summer. And Craig, it's great finally meeting you and having you on the air tonight to discuss the situation. And, they couldn't have a better front man here to when a new course is finally designed and ready to go than you. So, friend, enjoy your stay, and it's great having you in B-Town and out at the IU course.
I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for the time.
Greg Bishop joining us, and we'll be back to close out things. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, we thank Fred Glass behind the scenes. We'll be seeing Fred on the 21st of June. Hey, great talking golf with Greg Bishop, the new pro and general manager out at the IU Golf Course. And as we told you, take your best shot and visit the course with school out now and beautiful weather upon us. Our employee of the week is Hannah Conklin here at Yogi's. She's a sweetheart of a girl and does a great job here at Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Lots going on tonight. As we mentioned, the Girls Track Regional is ongoing out at Bloomington North. It started about 55 minutes ago. Don't forget Reds baseball tonight. Out at Chavez Ravine, Dodgers Reds at 10 o'clock in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Early tomorrow, come on in and see the Hoosiers beat Maryland on the big screen. 10 o'clock, first pitch from Omaha, Nebraska, as Indiana embarks upon the conference championships. And don't forget the sectional baseball, North and South, out at the Cougar Field on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Again, for Hannah Conklin, our Employee of the Week, Joanna and Mike Lascott, and also our producer tonight, Will Boatman. That's going to be the story, and we'll have the Memorial Day weekend coming up post-Memorial Day.